Blog Talk Radio.
I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. The father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect, and should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and his blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you, and to say, I will. I will. I will.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Mark Kaiser, who challenges Catholic men of all ages to stand firm in the faith. Tonight, Mr. Kaiser will once again challenge us to be the man Christ created us to be. Here now is Mark Kaiser with today's challenge for Catholic men everywhere.
And good evening. I am Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender, and Mark was called away. He just gave me a call, and he just apologizes. He should be back next week, but he was just called back because at work they had an emergency situation, and he couldn't get out of it, but that's okay because we are here. And with me tonight, I've got Dr. Gregory Thompson. And he will be coming on in a few moments, but I'm going to share this real quick blog because of the importance of fathers. You know, this past Sunday was Father's Day. And so we wanted to do something in honor of Father's Day, and I put this article together. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. that he may grant you in accord with the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's coming from Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. The greatest testimony for any father is to reflect the glory of God, the Father, in their life. This profoundly affects positively to his wife and children. The attributes of God to be center in our lives. Consider Saint Joseph. He is the world's greatest dad who took care of the Holy Family. Not only was Saint Joseph a hard worker, his faith was so strong that he was able to save his family taking long journeys as far as Egypt when chased by an evil king. Here is some studies that I have found. 82% of studies on father involvement and child well-being published since 1980 found significant associations between positive father involvement and offspring well-being. That's huge. 82% of the studies showed that fathers were important. In an analysis of over 100 studies on parent-child relationships, it was found that having a loving and nurturing father was as important for a child's happiness, well-being, and social and academic success as having a loving and nurturing mother. Some studies even indicated that the father love was a stronger contributor to some important positive child well-being outcomes. According to child psychiatrist Kyle Pruitt, a father's more active play style and comparatively slower response to a toddler or infant experiencing frustration serves to promote problem-solving competencies and independence to a child. In the words of Dr. Pruitt, positive father care is associated with more pro-social and positive moral behavior in boys and girls. This is borne out by research from the University of Pennsylvania, which indicates that children who feel a closeness and warmth with their father are twice as likely to enter college, 75% less likely to have a child in their teen years, 80% less likely to be incarcerated and have as likely to show various signs of depression. These are things that are so important. In a 26-year long history, researchers found that the number one factor in developing empathy in children was father involvement, fathers spending regular time alone with their children translated into children who became compassionate adults. Dr. David Popenio, professor of psychology at Rutgers University and co-director of the National Marriage Project, states, fathers are far more than just second adults in the home. Involved fathers, especially biological fathers, bring positive benefits to their children that no other person is as likely to bring. They provide protection and economic support and male role models. They have a parenting style that is significantly different from that of a mother, and that difference is important in healthy child development. So all of these, those are very positive examples. When fathers are leading their family in the faith, their children have a better than 80 to 90% success rate that they would the children would receive the baton holding on to the faith. When it falls on the mother, the rate falls drastically down to the 30s and even the teens in percentage. Let's take a look at some of the reverse. You know, one of the things that I, when my kids were really young, when I was just a young father, the average age or the average time spent by a father to his children was unbelievably 6 seconds a day. Could you imagine that? The average time span that a child had with his father in a day was like 6 seconds. That would be like, get up, good morning, see you off to school. And that's about it, because dad's working late at night. I mean, just that impact just really blew me away when I was at that. So I tried to do, I mean, I made my kids very central in what we did. That was our advent. That's what we entertained ourselves with sports and everything else, church and everything else. I tried to spend a lot of time with my kids. But that was a stat that just blew me away, 6 seconds a day. Whew. But anyway, so we're going to look at some of this. The divorce rate has had a dramatic impact on the American family. Let us pray for the return of God in our country, that he will restore common sense and heal our land, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And so here are some following stats that's very important. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. And I mean, think about it. I'm just going to go back to this. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. That's five times the average. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes, 32 times the average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes, 20 times the average. And that's coming from the Center of Disease Control. 80% of rapists and anger problems come from fatherless homes, 14 times the average. That's coming from Justice and Behavior, Volume 14. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. Oh, man. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. Again, that's 10 times the average. 70% of youths in state-oriented or operated institutions come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average, and that's coming from the U.S. Department of Justice. 85% of all youths in prison comes from fatherless homes, and that's 20 times the average. Fulton County, Georgia, Texas Department of Correction, that's coming from them. Hosea 4:6 states, my people are ruined for lack of knowledge. Since you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from serving as my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Ooh. That's not something that you want the Lord saying to you. When fathers are out of the picture, it hurts the children in so many ways. When the fathers are not practicing their faith, even if they even have one, hurts children in so many ways. When fathers are addicted to drugs and alcohol, which, by the way, 90% of abuse in a home has alcohol involved in it, 90%. This hurts children in so many ways. When fathers abuse their wife and children, again, a lot of that is alcohol related, this hurts children in so many ways. If you place children in same-sex homes, that also hurts children in so many ways. If fathers are not trying to be whom God created them to be, they can have a negative image of God, the Father, leading their children down a dangerous road. Sons may have a poor example teaching them to not have respect for women. daughters might never be interested in men because of what they witnessed in their fathers. If fathers taught their sons to be men, maybe they would grow up being good leaders. 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 4 states, "When the time of David's death drew near, he gave these instructions to Solomon, his son. I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong and be a man. Keep the mandate of the Lord, your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, commands, ordinances, and decrees as they are written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in whatever you do and whatever you turn, and that the Lord may fulfill the word he spoke concerning me. If your sons so conduct themselves that they walk before me in faithfulness with their whole heart and soul, there shall never be wanting someone in your line of the throne of Israel." To be a man who can break the chain of destructive patterns in their family's history, to break the violence and abuse, they can change their future taking King David's advice. We must place God's statutes, his commands, his ordinances, his decrees, his word in our hearts. That is why our Catholic faith is so important. Even at this time in human history, when we see so much rebellion, men of courage must answer the call to lead our families to life everlasting, making the sacraments of God central in our family, especially the Eucharist. Oh, and how important that is. Greg, what do you think of what I've put forth here? Greg? Greg, are you there? My goodness. Hold on. We had some technical difficulties coming beforehand. I'm not even sure. Greg, you there? I'm going to put on a song here. And in the meantime, I'm going to try to see if I get Greg to come back in and see what is going on, because for some reason, he's having trouble. So I will be right back. Best Love Takes Time with Brian Duncan. And sometimes it really does, especially in family relationships. It does take time to grow. Greg, are you there?
I am.
Oh, good, because I was calling for you a while ago, and I couldn't hear you, and I thought we were having problems again, so I tried to call you offline.
What you did was great information, and ought to send it out to everybody, Don. And that guy that was talking in the beginning?
Yes, yes.
Who was that?
That's off of a movie called Courageous. It was in the movie Courageous. It's an outstanding movie, Christian-based, and it has a very powerful message. It's about police officers. The storyline is about police officers who.
I think I've seen it, but that's a great spoken well also.
Oh, it was. Yeah. In fact, I love that because it's so powerful, and any man who really listens to what he's saying there. Hopefully it inspires you to want to be that kind of father. And that's what we're trying to be. We're trying to do that. Even if your kids are grown up, you know, I don't care how old your kids might be. They're always going to be your kids.
That's
always
right.
Going to be your kids. And
that's
so
right.
Even if we have to, we pray for them. You know, we always pray for them. So, regardless of the situation, right now I'm a long way away from my family. My kids are a long ways. My daughter Petra is about 5 hours away, so I can go and see her once in a while when I get a chance to get off of this. But I'm just saying, it's difficult for a lot of families today because, back in the day, before the Industrial Revolution and farms were the setting, children were really huge for helping out with the farm. And you could kind of identify with that because you grew up on a farm too, right?
Yeah, we were down there most of the time, yeah. We would leave the house at 5:30 in the morning, go to the farm.
And
actually moved on the farm the year I graduated. So the younger 10 right there on the farm. But my brother, a year younger than I, when I was 8 and he was 7, we left at 5:30 every morning to go down to the farm and take care of the chores and help with all the, all the things you would do on a farm.
Yeah, and I was raised on a farm too, at least in my high school years. So, dealing with hogs and cattle and horses and that kind of thing. And
yep.
I think that's good upbringing for any child to have that kind of.
But at least on the farms, the kids could grow up with a good work ethic. Most of the kids that are from the city, it's not that they might not have had a good work ethic. It was rare because they didn't work like the farm kids did, and there wasn't that much for them to do in the city except play and stuff like that.
Wow.
But
go ahead. You had a very interesting experience with your father, didn't you? Or he had a very interesting experience with you, however you want to look at it. You had an accident, right?
I did, uh-huh. Yeah, I was 9 years old, about maybe 2 or 3 months from my 10th birthday. And happened to be on Mother's Day. And it was the only time we ever worked on a Sunday. And it had been a damp spring like we've had before. And Dad had got dispensation from the priest after Mass that day, to work on Sunday so he could try to catch up a little bit. because he always worked two jobs before he came to the farm. And because I was the oldest boy, I went out to ride with him. And at that time, he didn't have the cabs over the tractor, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you'd sit on the rear fender over the rear wheel, and I always put my foot underneath the seat, kind of help me keep my balance, I guess. We hit a spot. Dad went to pull up the power takeoff away from my side. He looked away and went to pull it up. When he did, I fell off on the rear tractor wheel, and it took me around, pushed me face down in the ground, which was a good thing it did, because the cutter came along and cut me up from ear to ear, the back of the head, and half through my arm. It's the only thing that keeps me from being stronger than the Hulk right now. But then cut my thumb off. But my dad didn't go 10 feet before he jumps over the rear tractor wheel onto the ground. And I never lost consciousness. Now, I couldn't even tell you one thing about the car wreck I was killed in, Donald. But that day, I can see it all in my head right now. You know, I can see the whole thing. I never lost consciousness. I was, after the cutter cut me up, the plow, of course, put me in the furrow. And so I was kind of turned where I could see Dad. I knew I was in bad shape. I knew that. It was just a consciousness, but I was in no pain because of the shock. And Dad came back. Of course, right away, he's so anxious, and I could see him in tears, and, you know, and picked me up, put my head in his arm, and my neck in the back where it was cut.
Yeah.
And then put my arm that was cut up over my chest and everything, and just started running for the house. And about every step, he was just, you know, praying to God, and crying. You know, I could see his tears. I could hear his sadness in his voice. We got up there, and I thought one of the things that was kind of remarkable later in my life, as I was thinking about it, because I could see the whole thing happening. Two of my brothers, one year younger and 1 2 years younger than me, were coming out to get us to come and eat, because we were going to have a family reunion. And so I remember Dad's telling them, get Grandpa, call the ambulance, tell your mother to come with Grandpa in the car, come down, open the gate down there, and he was getting their attention to get some things done. It was remarkable to me that an 8-year-old took care of all that. And my other brother, the one 2 years younger, you know, He thought he said something about a sheep. He was kind of jumping up and down. We got a sheep. We got a sheep. You know, he thought Dad was carrying a sheep. So anyway.
He didn't know it was you.
No, not initially. So anyway, took me into my dad, just how it impacts a parent when their child is suffering. Of course, I wasn't physically suffering. You know, I could see my thumb hanging, and I remember asking my mother, who was in the car, and I was kind of laying in her lap, and I could see my thumb hanging. I said, "Are they going to have to cut my thumb off?" And she said, "Well, they're going to have to do a lot of work, so they may have to." You know, she told me real softly, and Dad was just really the first time I really saw him kind of beside himself. You know, he was just uh, not knowing what was going to happen, just praying. You know, the good part about it is that Dad would get home late at night, and if we hadn't already done it, he would kneel down with us, and we'd all say the rosary and everything. So we had that a good base as far as faith. And, and he tried to instill that within the children by his own example. And out of that mold, I tried to do that with my children, you know, except I wasn't as good at saying the rosary until later in life. I would pray with them all the time, but I made sure we went to Mass every Sunday and that they went to confession and things like that. But it wasn't, I don't think I was near as strong as my dad was. And the only thing Dad, my mother, who was a convert when she was 17 before Dad and her got married, and my mother and my grandmother, his mother, my dad's mother, they were the two main forces of educating us and reading to us about our faith and everything. And my dad was just so straight as an arrow. You know, nobody, they always thought 12 kids were very well behaved in church because, dad, you know, it was an expectation. You just, you know, you're a gentleman. You just be responsible, do what you should do. And I, being the oldest boy, probably heard that phrase more than any of my siblings put together, to be responsible. You know, you need to set an example, Gregory, for your siblings. And trying to pass that on in our mindset, you know, that the importance of being a good role model for not only your siblings but your children and things like that. And I was very blessed in that way. And you know, Don, on that, I just thought when I was young, I just thought everybody's doing the same thing. You know, I didn't know it wasn't happening, and in my naivety, I just, I thought everybody farmed. I thought everybody did, you know, everybody, had a mom and dad that prayed with them, you know. And when you have that, it all makes it, I guess as you gain age and wisdom to see how fortunate you were, because so many people don't have those circumstances in their life, you know. We always thought we didn't have things, you know, material things, because there was 12 of us kids, you know, but we did have a strong family unity, you know, with 12 children. And I actually, I wanted 12. I wanted to have 12 myself because of what I experienced in that. I can remember my older sister telling me that my mom, she wanted 18.
So, wow.
Anyway, just remarkable Dad, one thing he did very well, too, was teach us a very strong work ethic. You know, there was always something to do. You never need to be sitting around and doing nothing, you know. I know Dad would go nuts today probably seeing how many of the children just sit with their the only thing strong on them is their thumbs, you know, and sadly, and it's the culture today, you know, but there are homes, you know, that where they homeschool and they teach the children their faith, and you know, those I would say those homeschools and churches that teach the foundations of what our Father taught us in heaven, right? And told us to do. That I would suggest that they wouldn't miss 100% as far as their belief in the real presence, Don. And that's one of the things that makes me a great sadness, you know, because our shepherds are supposed to be kind of like our Father, right? And
that's why we call him Father. We do call him Father. Yeah, we call him Father because that's the leader of the flock, leader of the family. The church
right.
is a large family. So, yeah, that's
exactly.
the understanding.
And, you know, you talked about earlier when you were given those statistics, we've had so many things that have caused the destruction of our faith have come because of a lack of fatherhood inside and outside the church. Not just outside the church, but inside the church that have, and I believe it's because of their over-shepherds not having good foundational things in their, you know, or stepping on them if they were thought to be rigid or something with traditional values and everything. And as a result, just allowing, and again, I look at what the good Lord said from the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I would suggest that as a statement that you would look at for many fathers, you know, and to differing degrees, you know, because I feel a degree of that too, even in my own, even though I was given a good example and everything. You know, when we have our own free will and we kind of drift a little bit, you know, my wife left me after 27 years and, you know, I have to claim the majority of responsibility in that. And, you know,
was it because you wanted 12 kids?
Well, no, there's no doubt about it. She took care of that, without me being part of it. She had, you know, whatever they do, tubes tied or whatever after the fifth one.
Okay.
And, you know, but I look at that too, with sadness for her because she was an only child and, she's probably getting comments and stuff, you know, and we don't know the, you know, it's another thing that I felt, I thought I could just, you know, when my grandmother said, Gregory, have Satan get behind you, you know. and so I would say that to him and then turn around and slug him, you know. In my naivety, we think, you know, Satan is more intelligent than we are. And he's trapped so many people. And he's got all the time, and he just works on it all the time to, and without, and knowing that, without the Holy Spirit, the strength of the Holy Spirit and Our Lady's mantle of protection, we don't stand a chance, you know, without that grace from God. And there's a lot of people that do not have that covering, and we know that. And that's why, you know, that's why you're a great example, Donald, in bringing 1,000 people into the Catholic Church just to, and I know you do that all the time. You ask people. You constantly ask, and you get, not everyone responds right away, but the ones that do, you've taken a lot of them through RCIA and families and, you know, singles and families and everything. And Well, that's a great example, you kind of become a father to those that you sponsor in the church, and I'm going back to we literally pretty much went to confession all the time, I was little when I started serving Mass, we'd walk to church, me and my brother, to go serve, and it was just an expectation, I guess. And so, my dad he never had to be a big disciplinarian, because you always knew, and maybe part of it is just the male leadership and tone, when they tell you to straighten up, you straighten up. Mm-hmm. And because of consistency, you knew not to challenge that, I think so many of our young people don't have the discipline or fatherhood that even knows how to be a father. It's almost generational now. Not almost, it is generational, that there's percentage-wise, there's been a lot of people, especially in our culture today, that haven't got to experience a real father. And like you said, with the numbers of boys and girls that fall off the rails with that lack of father, I think if we train up the child like it says and the way it should go, they'll come back. That's why I know that your children, because of the time you did spend with them and the time that you did were teaching them, they're all going to come back. Mine are going to come back. Good Lord got a hold of me, I had one still going to church and four out. And now I've got four back and one that's open enough to going to give me all the things that her and any of her family, whatever questions they have on why they're not, participating in the church. Mm-hmm. She's going to, hopefully by the end of July, I will have answered their questions and have them on the way back. But it won't be me. It'll be the Holy Spirit if it happens. But that conviction has to come from God. All things eternal do come from God through willing vessel and back to Him. And so that's one of the things, when I heard that first speaker, it's my job. It's my job. And it's my job to be the prayer warrior as a father for my children. I don't think I miss a day, praying for them and
praying for them, right?
And I know in that prayer, as I pray, I know that God, and if everybody listening out there, God our Father loves your children and you more than you do. And if we understand that He's a loving Father, and I know people have had their examples have been tough for them to accept that. But if they would just start praying that the good Lord will open that, their hearts up to that, because he wants it's in His will that they would come to Him for the right reason out of love. That's already in His will. And if we can lead them to that, and that we die to ourselves and teach them to die to themselves and to not my will but yours be done. And if we can get them to really accept that aspect, I think we have at least planted seeds enough that hopefully they'll get it before they die. The sooner the better. It makes it easier for you to get through trials. But so many, because of so many fathers abandoning the ship, have caused so many of the different things you were talking about in those statistics, Donald. You know, and our culture has been a full-blown attack on the family, and as the father leaves, you know, it starts a destruction of the family for sure, you know. And so...
You know, Greg, that's why it's so important for us. And I'm glad we had Father's Day. It's a reminder of the importance of it. And I think it's good for us to cover it here, too, because the family is so important. And we cover just about everything about the family. But we need to – I wanted to dedicate this one for fathers because it was so close to Father's Day. And your story, I mean, that is very inspiring. You grew up with a large family, which we don't see that anymore. I mean, I remember when I was at in Alabama, there was one Catholic family that had 9 kids. And when they would come into the commissary, I mean, you know, it was just it was an amazing thing to see. But I also saw some of the other people, like, how in the world and why in the world would somebody have 9 kids? You know, it was like they couldn't understand that. But that's because our society has lost the understanding about and what life is and the importance of life, and that each life is a cherished opportunity. A child is a promise of a better future, you know, the idea of that. And it's important for fathers to be leaders in that task. That's a very important task. It really is. Just like when God chose Joseph, when he chose Joseph to be the head of the Holy Family, that's pretty powerful when you think about that. But then all of us have that kind of responsibility. And so many of us, as you know, have failed. I mean, they're not even on first base. So it's a sad thing, but... If fathers,
but the thing that we really need to reach out there with those, what you just said, Donald, because that is, it's so true. But we need to tell the fathers out there that are listening that it's not too late. It's never too late if we trust God and just go to Him every day. And it's not that it may not take time to heal or time for that to happen, and it's all in God's timing, and He will respond every time when we seek, ask, and knock. He will respond. He already wants it. You know, sometimes when we ask, like He's just a machine in the sky where you take a withdrawal, you know, I want a withdrawal now, rather than who He is, and just know that He's a loving God. He's going to do it in His time when He knows it's right. You know, and you look at the prayers of Monica for her son, mm-hmm. Augustine.
Right.
30 years. Now, there's a lot of people that, and that's the dedication that we need, that prayers, understanding that God loves them and just keep praying for them. And doing what we can with a kind word or with something for them to read or see or watch or something, just to keep planting seeds in there and just continue to be a good, kind father and love them. They will respond at some point. You know, I don't believe anybody can withstand continual kindness. You know, they will eventually be drawn to that, and
you would think so.
It may be resisted initially, and it's something that we just keep doing. and keep doing, because we're talking about eternity, and besides our spouse, it's our job to try to do the best we can to get our children into eternity. And it's a battle, you know, because we're working against the powers and principalities for sure. And
definitely,
but we have a mountain moving God, and when we just continue to stay true to Him, good things happen. You know, I've had them happen so many times since I came back to Him. I have to say, I have to call myself, my mother was a convert, but I think I was a revert, because I was pretty strong Catholic growing up, you know, till I was, probably around 18 years old. And then my life took a turn because I decided to, I was in charge and wanted to please myself, and I'm arrogant as far as pride. You know, it wouldn't be very obvious, you know, but so many things, Donald, I'm going to cut away for a minute, and I'll come back, okay?
Okay, well, I've got something here I want to share anyway, right? Yeah, so while he's kind of cut away, this is what, this is coming from Sarek, chapter 25. With three things I am delighted, for they are pleasing to the Lord and to men: harmony among brethren, friendship among neighbors, and the mutual love of husband and wife. Three kinds of men I hate: their manner of life I loathe indeed, a proud pauper, a rich dissembler, and an old man lecherous in his dotage. I'm not sure exactly what all that means, but apparently they're not good. What you have not saved in your youth, how will you acquire in your old age? How becoming to the gray-haired is judgment, and a knowledge of counsel to those on in years? How becoming to the aged is wisdom, understanding and prudence to the venerable? The crown of old men is wide experience, their glory the fear of the Lord. There are nine who come to my mind as blessed, a tenth whom my tongue proclaims: the man who finds joy in his children, and he who lives to see his enemy's downfall. Happy is he who dwells with a sensible wife, and he who plows not with a like a donkey yoked to an ox. Happy is he who sins not with his tongue, and he who serves not his inferior. Happy is he who finds a friend, and he who speaks to attentive ears. He who finds wisdom is great indeed, but not greater than he who fears the Lord. Fear of the Lord surpasses all else. The possessor is beyond compare. Worst of all wounds is that of the heart. Worst of all evils is that of a woman. Worst of all sufferings is that from one's foes. Worst of all vengeance is that of one's enemies. No poison worse than that of a serpent, and no venom greater than that of a woman. With a dragon or a lion I would rather dwell than live with an evil woman. What do you think of that, there, Greg? with a dragon or a lion, I would rather dwell than live with an evil woman. Wow. So guys, it's important that when you're thinking about getting married, to find a woman that is a wholesome woman. Now, you know, that sounds funny to me. With a dragon and a lion, I'd rather dwell than live with an evil woman. Yeah, that's funny. But when you think about it, when you're looking, when you're developing that kind of a relationship, you want to make sure that the person you have has integrity. And I think that they have, if they have strong faith, there's something rich about a woman of faith. Would you agree to that there, Greg? There's something rich about a woman of faith?
Absolutely. And it's one thing that I think we fail on, or I did, to have our children pray for their future spouse, if that's the avenue that they're going to take. Pray for them, you know, ahead of time, years ahead of time. Pray for that future person that you'll put in my path, Lord. Help me see and recognize and because so many times, Donald, and I was guilty of it too, we don't start relationships out in love. We start them out in lust, you know. And the draw of the lust is initially, have, especially in our culture today, is a stronger pull, and we don't even know what the word love means yet, you know. Guys especially, but girls do it some too, but guys will, because of the drive in them, you know, will tell a girl anything they think they want to hear, you know, and usually they're pretty successful with it because the girl wants to hear what they say and you know, it flatters them and everything. And so they, we've just set ourselves up in a society where the overwhelming majority are just drawn into the relationship for the wrong reason as the lead reason. You know, it's not God first.
I was wanting to see if I could get you to say a prayer of dismissal for us tonight, because we started a little bit later tonight because we were having technical difficulty, and I thought we were going to have difficulty again because when I was trying to call you, I didn't hear. That's why I put on a song, because I was going to try to call you with hey, have you call back in or something, because for whatever reason, I didn't think you could hear me. But I'm glad you finally, after the song. I think I heard you during the song. I said, you there? Yeah.
So I will. And I think very appropriate for tonight, one of the prayers that I think we can start out with: name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. That we do your will, Lord. That we do your will on a daily basis, do all we can to bring not only our children, which is our first priority, our spouse and children, not only bring them into eternity with you and with every ounce that's in us, but also help be an example for other fathers and others that, you know, that you put into our path, that we can help them in a way, with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to be a proper father as far as you are, God, for putting you first and letting that lead our every action, everything we say, everything we do. And, Lord, give us what we need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, God bless
you,
Donald.
Greg. God bless you too, and we'll do this again. So God bless you, and we will end this with 10,000 miles. the Newsboys, 10,000 miles, and as men we should be leading, just like Joseph led the Holy Family. Good night, everybody. Good night, Greg.
Good night. Good night, Donald.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we have examined in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight Don Hartley's guest host has been Mark Kaiser, who challenges Catholic men of all ages to stand firm in the faith and to be the man Christ created you to be. Please plan to join us next time for another challenge to the Catholic man of today.
Macho.